Yeah, for sure. So, first of all, I just want to say thank you guys for having me here today. Really, really appreciate the invite. I've watched a number of your interviews, and I'm like, yeah, I definitely need to be on this show at some point. So, yeah, I mean, very much appreciate being here today. So, how did we go from slow motion, ghost aesthetics, vibranium industries to what we have today? I mean, where do we start? I think everything pretty much starts at emerging economies. Hello everyone, what is going on? So welcome again to another episode of Rootless. Today we have someone that I believe is a very, very prominent, very important figure in modern African history. I think modern world history. Some of you might disagree, but that's okay. As you know, the structure of the show, we're gonna ask a very simple question, one question, and we let the founder take us on a journey. Our question, as always, is: how did you get here? I guess there's a number of ways you could probably take that, but we are interested in the companies that have been founded, the impact that has been had, and the people that made it possible. All right. Once again, welcome to another show. Let everybody sing. Yeah, so I mean, it all started with emerging economies. I remember exactly where I was when I put those words down on the page. I was sitting on my bed one day and I'm like, yo, emerging economies, what the flying flippity flap are they even emerging from, anyways? Like, obviously, I understand, I get it. They're emerging. There was a point in time when they were not emerging, but now they are. And I'm like, yo, I feel like I wanna. And for me, a lot of my work starts with like just a title. It starts with a title. There's a bunch of ideas floating around, and then at some point, I just get a really concrete title in my head. Boom. This is what it's gonna be. This is what's gonna be the title of it. And whether it's a billion years of leadership, Cairo to Cape Town, emerging economies, there's always a title that's very clear in my mind that yeah, that's what it's gonna be called. And that was it. Like, emerging economies, it's going to be in quotes because I'm looking at this word and how it's being used and how I feel about this, not this word, this term. And what really took it to that next level for me was, when I wrote it initially, I thought this is a powerful piece. I don't know what it is, but there's something about it that I just cannot get out of my mind. Like, it just flows. It feels so emotional. So I recorded the first time I recorded it, I performed it. It was very sort of a calm, very calm. You didn't really hear the emotion when I was performing it. Well, it was there. It was there in the words, right? I did my very best to get that emotion out there. Like, I wanted to depict this person that's written these words or that's going to be performing these words as someone that's not impressed in the slightest about everything that's going on. He ain't impressed, chief. But that piece was not, it was not it. Like, I kept thinking about it over and over again, day in, day out. I'm like, this piece feels like it should be something a bit more emotional, something a bit angrier, So, I did what you would normally do, which is, well, not really, but for me, it was quite normal. I'd perform it to myself several times. So whether it was on my walks, my morning walks, which started very short and then kept getting longer and longer because I found, whoa, this is a cool way of just, I don't know, just freeing your mind, just walking in like a wooded area with not many people around. There's no sound of cars, just there's a stream at some point. It's just a very peaceful environment. So I'd perform it whenever I looked around and there was no one, right? And with each performance, I realized, yo, this could be something dope. Sometimes if I'm walking by a street somewhere and there's a lot of cars, I'd really get into it and really perform it, because obviously no one's here that's going to be hearing me or whatever, right? So I did a lot of that, and you know, I recorded it again. I'm gonna record this a second time, you know, and that second performance just blew me away. I'm like, yo, this is sick, this sounds amazing. I'm telling you right now, half of those first few listens, for the first few months after I put that out there on Anchor, half of those listens were all me just listening to it over and over again. I'm like, this is sick, nuts, right? You can really hear the emotion that, yeah, this is it. And it's like I'm channeling all these other sort of prominent figures, right? I'd let you guess who those are, but yeah. So where do we go from there? I wrote the second iteration of Emerging Economies just was nuts. Now, I'm like, this needs to go a bit further still, because I feel like there's something more that's missing. So I had like some kind of video slide projection, whatever you want to call it. I'm like, it still needs to go beyond this. So I started working on like a stage performance. Like, I want to see this on a stage, like in a theater somewhere. I don't know how that's going to happen, but that's the vision. I want to see myself or see this person performing this on a stage. You know, there's going to be a piano on one end, sort of adding that emotion, taking it to that next level, making it a bit more sort of like a production. And then on the other end, sort of on the wall or something, there's a projection of various images that sort of line up with what it is that I'm saying. Right? Now, that was the vision. Piano, someone in the middle performing it, and then a third piece, which will be the images alongside the text that that this person is performing. Now, I also wanted to do something more. Two things. Number one, I wanted the audience, the physical audience in the theater hall that were watching this, to feel like they were being taken to a different realm. Like, I wanted people to watch this and think, ooh, we've entered a different space right now. This is on a different level. How would you do that? Obviously, the performance would take it there, right? What the person is saying. But here's what I thought. I thought, wouldn't it be cool if at some point during the performance, you would see sort of smoke? You know how on stage, like, you know, musician or whatever, different events, there's like smoke. I don't know what they call those things, because... yeah, just the smoke machine that's like from the ground, sort of smoke just fills the room, right? That's how I imagined it. But here's the twist. I thought it'd be cool if the smoke was like controlled by my movements. So somehow I could, based on the way I was moving, based on certain choreographed, because as I said, as I'm performing this poem day in, day out on my morning walks, thinking about it, you know, it's just there in my mind. I'm envisioning it, making it concrete. You know, I was envisioning the motions that this person would be making as they're performing the piece as well. Because, yeah, it's not just, you're not just standing there, right? If you get to this emotional point, you want to be moving in a certain way. And I wanted the smoke to move with the way the person was moving. And the idea, I think, behind that was, you know, let's say I'm saying the poem, I'm reciting the poem, performing it, and I get to this very emotional climactic point where I'm like, yo, I've lost it, I am completely done. Each year that goes by, it becomes clear that you never cared. At that point, I wanted it to be like, yo, up to that point, let me say it like this. Up to that point, I wanted it to seem as though I was in control of the stage. I was in control of whatever arena I was in. But once it got to that climax, I sort of was not very much in control. And that's when the smoke would come out a bit more. Like, it'd fill the whole stage, right? And then that's when I'd sort of move in a certain way, and the smoke would sort of move in the way that I was moving. So I don't know how that would happen, but I envisioned something like that. And then after that climax, and the energy, sort of the intensity or the emotional energy of the piece just sort of comes down a bit more, you know, or what do I know, whatever. And then, you know, tapers off.
Then the smoke would sort of come back in, sort of, yeah, withdraw. And the idea there is, okay, I've got that out there now. Let's continue. I'm now in full control. And I didn't want that to just be a visual effect, you know, just go to some visual studio and be like, hey, can you guys add this for me? No, I wanted it to be something that people in the theater would be able to see, right? So how would I do that? I was at the point where I'd made a number of connections with people that liked the second iteration of the piece. And, you know, there were people that, you know, really... I got in touch with this group, two brothers, you know, from the African Institute of Jet Propulsion Technology, which that is what it's known as now, based in Banjul. And that, of course, was a spin-off from the African Institute of Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Aeronautics, right? IT today is known as. And they somehow came across my work as well, and they felt like they could build this device. They were engineering students, so I said, yeah, this is what I want. I want to be able to control the smoke, you know, on the stage with this device thing. So they built it, the hardware, the entire software, and it worked really, really well, as you know, right? This piece was just, it took the performance to just a completely different level, stratospheric heights, man, honestly. And that was from their work and their vision. And after that work came out, we had a number of, you know, movie studios and small production companies saying that, hey, we want to use something similar as well. And we built a number of other specialized sort of devices like that. And that's how Ghost Engineering came about. At the time, we just called ourselves Ghost Aesthetics, where we just basically anything that you, any sort of film or production, audio production, even visual production, mostly, that you would see that had some kind of eerie type sort of scary feel to it, we were more than likely the company behind that, right? So that's how we started building our name in the industry. It was a lot of behind the scenes work, so you might not see us, you'd see the name somewhere in the credits, but it was a lot of work from, you know, back then and even today. So fast forward, obviously with that, we're not thinking, oh, this is what we're going to be doing forever. We don't want to be sort of making, you know, eerie type videos forever. Obviously, it was a very lucrative market with a lot of interest in that area at the time. You know, I wanted us to go a bit further. So we started building up a team to, you know, take the company to a different level. And basically what that was, the engineering background that my co-founders had enabled us to do this. So they will certainly have a lot more details in this area than I currently do. But basically today what we have is a company that works with AUSEA, Aussie, whatever you want to call it, that does a lot of the technology work for, support technology work for the African Union, you know, Space Exploration Agency. We'll get to that bit. I also want to touch on some of the work that I was involved in with Vibranium Industries. Now, today, obviously, it's called Vibranium Industries. Back then, I don't remember what it was called. Vibranium something? Vibranium Sound or something like that? and Vibranium, I wanted the idea of something that was sort of impactful. Something that, you know, it lands and everything changes. You know what I mean? You don't want to change too bad, son. It was, you know, something powerful like that. And they were the group, and that was the... So, there's three things. There's the work that, you know, that I came with, which was this piece that I wanted to visualize. And there was also the visual aspect of the piece that Ghost
worked on. Now, there's the audio side of things. What would people be hearing once it's being broadcast? With that performance, in terms of my role directly, the stage performance, I spent several months practicing, as I've said, to get the right cadence, the right flow, the right sort of vocal expressions and little things that you wouldn't think I'd pay attention to, right? And over time, as I started practicing to get, you know, to the level of performance that I wanted to hear, I realized that there were certain things that I was doing that I couldn't recreate when I wanted to hear it again. You know, that's why a lot of my practice sessions later on started, you know, more and more of it was in studio sessions, so that, you know, if I say something that I'm like, ooh, or if I do a little improvisation that I'm like, yeah, I like that, it's being done in an environment that it can be taken, copied, and worked into a final piece, a final production. Now, yeah, in short, that's where Vibranium did a lot of great work. This team that I met up with, they had a very small catalog of, not a very small catalog, but they had enough for me to say, I'm going to work with you guys. And I wanted them to take those little things from all the different practice sessions that I've had. And I'll say to them, that right there, that little thing that I'm doing with my voice, maybe it's just a little, you know, just something. That just gives it a bit more oomph, like, yeah, this guy is, he's really getting the emotions across. Those things that I'm like, yo, I've tried, but I just can't get it again. They would then take that, whether it was in a practice session somewhere outside or in my house or later on in the studio as time went on when I was practicing, they would take that and then work that into the final production that we eventually put out. So Vibranium, they were next level. The names came about. I basically just said, yo, Ghost, I want it to be something. Yeah, I want like powerful, strong names. You know, Ghost is very sort of, Ghost does that. Vibranium again does that, you know. It just sounds like, yo, these guys are not playing games. So, I mean, in short, where we are now, these companies, I think, for me, emphasize just humble beginnings. You know, without these three companies, a lot of what I'm involved in today would just not be possible, you know. You look at the work, some of the work that I was involved in with some of my early works with poems and etc., a lot of the writing, the stories, and that's what has birthed Wordsmith, Kukhalisana, a lot of the work that we're doing today that I'm involved in and have been involved in with Radiance Precision Technologies. None of that would be possible if I didn't start by writing all these little poems, cute little words. You know, in the early days, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I just kept at it, and I kept getting better and better. At least in my mind, I did. I kept reading other works. I kept looking at different texts that helped help me improve my craft. And again, the work at Vibranium is today the reason we have what we're doing at X, Baka, obviously, the Levi Train series and the Tron series, all of that is from that early work with Vibranium, right? The work that they did with audio intelligence, audio technology is the foundation for what we have today. And again, lastly, Ghost, which of course is today Ghost Propulsion Engineering, does a lot of the support technology for, as I said, the African Union Space Exploration Agency, where we're building building and maintaining a lot of the ground infrastructure for their geo and high Earth orbit systems, Earth observation, scientific research systems, and a lot of the reconstruction work, sort of the 3D printing systems in outer space. A lot of the work that we've done or we're doing currently with BIA Systems, I'd love to hear their perspective on it. So go talk to the guys at BIA to really get at how some of our partnership works within what they can talk about at least. It's been a ride. It's been an interesting ride, you know. And I really want to say this as well. What I love about all the work that we're doing now is all of this, the work we're doing at Ghost Propulsion Engineering, Vibranium Engineering, a lot of that is based here in the region, right? With Ghost, we're based right here next door, out of Banjul, you know? With Vibranium, that's out of, out west, no, not west, all the way in the east. Some of it is in the south. So a lot of that work with Vibranium is done, it's being done in Bujumbura, where one of the divisions is headquartered as well. So, and all of this in 20 years or even less, you know, in the grand scheme of things, who knows? But I think these are very important companies, and the fact that we have local talent out of Banjul, we've adopted very sort of interesting and very aggressive education. You know, systems to train talent, local talent in the region, you know, and that's been a blast. It's been a lot of learning, a lot of very quick learning in a few years, but, you know, I very much enjoy it. Yeah, that's the basic story of everything. I'm sure the team of Vibranium and Ghost will have a different narrative, but this is what I'm giving you guys today. Advice for the youngsters? Oh man, too many cliche advice out there, man. I think, I don't know, man, just learn how to manage small things first, you know? Just, if you want to be out here, you know, CEO of this and that, founder of this and that, you know, learn how to manage those little things at first, you know, whether it's just, I don't know, for me, I don't know how this came about, but I was never able to leave my house without laying my bed. I just couldn't do it. I'd rather miss the bus. My bed's gotta be laid. You know what I mean? The pillow may not have been washed in over a week, but yo, the bed's gotta be laid. I wanna come home and see that, yeah, okay. You know, it's been a busy day. It's been a bit raucous. Work was quite rough. But you come home and you look at that laid bed and it's like, oh, wonderful. Now I can, you know, you lay down a little bit and then you go eat or do whatever, but learn how to manage those little things first, you know? Man, I know not missing the bus is probably one of those things I need to learn, but you gotta be trying, manage those little things at first, and I know that's not really, yeah, it's tough. I'd also say that I want to emphasize the humble beginnings. Ghost, to reemphasize that, we started by making these obscure little devices for stage performances, for all kinds of weird and interesting stories, right? And today we're building propulsion engineering systems for support technologies for the African Union. Like, that's ridiculous, all right? Humble beginnings. It's very easy to miss that. It's very easy to look at what we're doing today and think this is where we started. No, fam. We were using all these little parts, spare parts from, you know, cars and bikes and all sorts of things to build, you know, these little devices, right? And today we're on a just, you know, something else. Again, with Vibranium, right? In to put it bluntly, we started just by editing audio. You know, that's how it started. Editing audio files, right? Someone records something and says, "Oh, I really want to do that again, but I've tried. I can't really do it. I've done everything, but I'm just not getting that effect." It's like, all right, cool. We're gonna do this, then the third. Boom, boom, boom. Move things around. Da da da. Here we go. We've added it in. It's now part of the performance, right? Just that audio work is very much, without a doubt in my mind, the foundation for the work that we're doing at Wordsmith. Obviously, Radiance Precision Technologies, all of the trains, the high-speed trains, all of those trains connecting all the major cities on this continent, all of that comes from, you know, that work, right? All the voice AI stuff that we're doing now with Radiance and Alien Technology, all of that. Well, Alien Technology is an Alien Technology Corporation. it comes from that foundation that we had at Vibranium, you know, just obsessively working at making sure that these audio performances were just precise, you know? Last thing, I want to say this as well. Have a plan. Like, have a plan. It helps frame your life. Like, don't just be going through day by day, not really knowing where you're going. And I really wish I did have one from quite young that, I don't know if that's maybe not a thing that's possible for everyone, right? If you're listening to this and you're somewhere that maybe you don't want to be or whatever the case may be, it might not be possible for you, but have a plan. I've written extensively on this and what that means in my book, Think Good Thoughts. You know, it's in there. Have a plan. And when you think of a plan, you might think of some Excel spreadsheet with like 5,000 pages or something, or some massive document. No, it could just be a little text, piece of text, one page that you can easily amend, add to, refine, whatever it is that you can keep going back to. You go back and look at it, okay, yeah, this is where I am, this is where I want to be, what do I need to do to move forward, scrap, you know? That you, in your mind, no one else needs to know that this is what you're doing, by the way. In your mind, you're making moves, you're doing everything you need to do. Yeah. So, I think what helps you do is something that, you know, if anything comes through that doesn't follow what your plan is, screw it, be gone. Because that's going to delay you, that's going to do all sorts of things. You know what I mean? Just move in the opposite direction, right? It's hard enough as it is, you don't need extra distractions, right? And again, it's not set in stone, it evolves with the flow of your life, right? We could keep having this conversation, but yeah, just manage small things first, right? Lay your bed. Apparently, I've heard there's too many people talking about what it means to lay a bed. I don't know what the reasoning is, but I can't help it. I have to. Humble beginnings, you know, have those aspirations, those dreams, but don't be afraid to start with that little thing, you know, that little thing first. You're doing all these scrappy little things, but keep in mind what's at the end. It's not really a destination, if you will. I don't know if that's a good way of thinking about it, but you know, that's where having a plan comes in, you know, something that changes, something that, you know, can flex and bend with the flow of your life. You feel me? Yeah, that's what I got for you guys today. I'm looking forward to your future interviews. I really do want to see one with the guys at Vibranium Industries and Ghost Propulsion as well. So make that happen. BIA Systems would be a good one as well. Because that's, as you know, come on. That's a mega corporation right there. Feel me? Yeah.